rate at least either 7 days or 14 days, depending whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl, before she can go to the mikveh. This then applies, we actually quote from the Mishnayot, this then applies even if the fetus is born dead, even if it's not a vlad bat hayom. As long as the woman was pregnant for a minimum of 40 days and there was a tzuris of vlad, then it's considered a leito, and she has to wait. A lot of times a woman has, let's say, a miscarriage at a very early stage, and we don't know whether it was a baby boy or a baby girl. And the Mishnah says in either, whenever you're mistuket, the suffix derives of a permissive. She cannot go to mitzvah before 14 days. She cannot just, let's say, a normal woman goes to mitzvah usually before 14 days. But if the woman was a mu'beret, she was not full of lard, and there's a possibility that it may have been in a keva, so the Mishnah says that patient in a keva, the suffix derives of a chumah. Rashi quotes the Lashonis from the Gemara that explaining the danger in the Chumash, that the Yoledet, even though she goes to the mikveh after the 7 days, after the 14 days, she still is not committed to enter the Beit HaMikdash at each room or korbanis until much later. How much later? So if it's a baby boy, so then the Chumash says you have to wait 40 days and bring in korban on the 41st day. And if it's a baby girl, then you have to wait till the 80 days and bring in korban on the 81st day. After the 40 days are up, or after the 80 days are up, then she's committed to eat truma, even though she hasn't yet brought the korban. But she's still not committed to enter the Beit HaMikdash to eat korbanos until she brings the korban. Even if she doesn't bring the korban the next day, she doesn't bring the korban on the 41st day or the 81st. But if he's not in there, there's no Beit HaMikdash, so she can't bring the korban. So the woman has to wait till she brings the korban. It may take many years, so it has taken many years already. We have 9 babies, and when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, we're going to have to bring, my wife is going to have to bring 9 korbanos. According to how many children you have, every time the woman has a child, so she has to bring a korban. And the Mishnah says that even if she's not believing she has a miscarriage, if it was a vlad of more than 40 days, when there was a tzuris of vlad, the Gemara says that before it was 40 days, there's no tzuris of vlad. The Gemara calls it maya b'yama, not maya b'yama. Or else he didn't, how did that status? I love his status of maya b'yama. And after 40 days, then we start to begin to discuss. It's not that after 40 days, bingo, right away. After 40 days, the 42nd day, the 43rd day. They have medical books that have pictures of the fetus, what they look like at the different stages of development. So they have about 42, 43 days, they can mark it. Just about then, the fetus is invented an inch by an inch. But at that time, the tzuris of vlad starts to be formed. You can see on that tiny little thing, the inch by the inch, the shape of a head with arms, with legs, and so on. So that's what the Gemara called the tzuris of vlad. It's very hard to determine that, even if you look at it. It's very hard to determine whether the thing has a tzuris of vlad or not. It's very doctor to the thing. So that's why we have a chumrah that they already have this man of Gemara. The Rashbon, the Torah Sabai, points out that already this man ha'amayroi, we had a chumrah that we're not bucky in the deepest tzuris of vlad. So whenever a woman was mafal of vlad, after 40 days of pregnancy, so then you have to consider the possibility that there was a tzuris of vlad. But let's say when the Beit HaMikdash will be built and we're going to be discussing how many korbanos the woman has to bring, they don't say, well, let her bring another korban. You can't bring the korban or lettuce is a chatzis and an oiler. If it would only be an oiler, it wouldn't be a problem. So you bring an oiler and a dover, even if you're not obligated. But a chatzis is not more than having a dover. You have to ascertain whether there was a tzuris of vlad or there was not a tzuris of vlad. There's no room to be machmir over here. If you know for sure there was no tzuris of vlad, even though she was pregnant for 40 days, and she lost she had the miscarriage on the 41st day, the 42nd day, but you looked at it and it didn't look like it had a tzuris of vlad. The experts looked at it and said it didn't look like it had a tzuris of vlad. But then she didn't bring the korban or lettuce. You know about a stam din. If you mistook it, but then there's a special din. Although normally a chatzis is not bu'al ha'safek, because it'll be chulim ba'zor, the safek chulim ba'zor, the safek aveira. This is an exception to the rule. The korban or lettuce is an exception to the rule because this korban is a mechusa kippur. Mechusa kippur means that this is going with the tahara. That if she doesn't bring these korbanos, that she still remains tamei with respect to entering the Beit HaMikdash with respect to eating korbanos. But then if she has a suffix, whether she was mafal tzuris of vlad or not, let's say 42 days, and you're not sure, how many days it was? You're not sure whether the uber had a tzuris of vlad. Usually at that time, if a woman has a miscarriage, then most of the time she won't even realize until after the thing is gone, after the tiny little tzuris of vlad is gone, so you won't even have what to look at. she wanted to be able to show it to the doctors to ascertain whether it had a tzuras havlat or not. So if you have an instance where the woman is mistaken whether the Uber had a tzuras havlat or not, so then in Mishnah you said it's learned out from a pasuk. The Gemara knows it learned out from a special pasuk that this korban may be brought out of pasuk. This chatas soifah bo ala sof. Chatas bein enough. If she's rich, she can't bring. She has to adapt to bring chatas soifah bo ala sof. Special thing. So the Gemara learns that from the Drash of Tzitzit, the Gemara reads the Tzitzit like this, that if a person is, if you're alleged to anybody, and the person is Tomei, and the person goes to the mikveh, then right away, Tavo B'yola, right away when the person comes out of the mikveh, they are Tahorim with respect to Chulim, or with respect to Achilas Maizasheni. The Chumash says that you're not permitted to eat Maizasheni in the state of Tumah, but the Adin men of the Tomei, but the Adin means I didn't eat it when they were Tumei, when I was Tomei, or when it was Tomei. They're both prohibited to eat Maizasheni in the state of Tumah, whether you're Tomei or the Maizasheni is Tomei. So here it's Tavo B'yola, the person goes to mikveh, he comes out, and Tommy goes to the mikveh at the right time. That's, let's say, the Yoledet goes to the mikveh 2 days after she had the baby. That's no good. You have to wait till either this, after the 7th day is up or after the 14th day is up. So, or let's say another person is Tommy, whoever is Tommy, goes to the mikveh at the right time. The Tavo B'yola is going for the Maizasheni. The person is Tavo with respect to all Fulham purposes and with respect to Rashidat Maizasheni. But the person is still considered as full young. The Fulham says, at the end of the story, he keeps on saying that Baman Yuva Tommy Adho Erev. The Rakat Bamayim told me Adho Erev. What do you mean you told me Adho Erev? The Rakat Bamayim, Rakat doesn't mean he takes a shower. Rakat means he's Tovah in the mitzvah. And when the person is Tovah in the mitzvah, he saw her right away with respect to Kulin and with respect to Maizu Sheni. But he told me Adho Erev with respect to Achilas Shuma. With respect to Achilas Shuma, Kodshim, Achilas Lamidosh, there is a din that it's Goyom is still considered Tomei. They carry over some of the tumor from before the seal in the mitzvah is considered as if it's still with him. You have to wait till higher shemesh. Higher shemesh has to follow the seal in the mitzvah. If I get him, the family of Rafa used to write book reviews. He used to review different books that came out there from him. Years ago, he printed three volume collections of book reviews that he had written. Very fascinating. All starting that came out. So he's not too kind. Sometimes he's gone really ridiculous. So he writes the good points and the bad points. And he reviewed Torah Journal also. Very interesting. But there was some Torah Journal that came out in Sakhna. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, so some Torah Journal came out in Sakhna in Hungary, so he really thought that that was ridiculous. And he shows on every page that ridiculous Chakiras and Omar Zimoras and Omar Dinan. Very fascinating reviews he had. And one of them, the Ritzka Park, a certain contemporary 60 years ago, contemporary Machaber who put out a page, he came up with a Chiddush. Everybody has to say Chiddush. Someone came up with a Chiddush. Let's say somebody had to go to Mitzvah. Today is Thursday, instead of going to mix for Thursday, went to mix for next Wednesday. So this Mechaber writes in his Sefer HaChiddush, the Talmud Chacham, that he already was Yosef Harav Shemesh. If he would have gone to mix for today, he would have been Tohar from Eretz Yisrael, but he has to wait till tonight for Achilas Kodshim. But if he already waited till tonight, he would wait till next week to go to the mixer. So what if he has to wait till the middle of the day? He can already eat Truma. He already was Yosef the Harav Shemesh today. That he shows, Rabbi Yevon shows from Kama to Kama Mishnah, that it's just not so. If it is not so, the Harav Shemesh must follow the Tzvim of the Mitzvah. You can't be able to the Harav Shemesh before. So that's the one din, that you have a full Yom, even when a person goes to the Mitzvah, he's still a full Yom, and he's not permitted to eat Shum or Kachim or enter into the Beis HaMikdash. There is a Rashi in the end of Chulin, where Rashi writes that the din of full Yom that is prohibited is up with the truma means it is up to eat truma. But if he touches truma, that din, the whole Mishnah is full yom. The whole din is full yom in the Mishnah is that if it's full yom touches truma, that he passes it, or if it's full yom touches kachim, he passes it. So Rashi writes in Kumim, the end of Kumim, that that's only a Kumim with the Rabban. It is based on Mikdash David. By a recent going of David Rappaport. He is a Magid Shir and a Rav Chaim Vasson in Yeshiva. Before the Second World War, and he died in Siberia. After they all ran away from the Nazis, everybody had to figure out where to go. So he went to Siberia. He got some malnutritionist. So he writes, he had fantastic Shir. He wrote on mainly on his farm that he wrote on Kachin and Taurus and Jordan. All the things that nobody ever really understood. He learned from Slavotsky Kalim. He said that they learned Kachin. And the Kohel, and they had a chok, that whoever learns in the Kohel has to write up the Kiddush Torah that they machash. But he says that they learned Kachin the first 2-3 years, they didn't understand what in the world was going on. After 3-4 years, it finally sank in. that's on that line, and then he wrote this tremendous statement where he really opened up everybody's eyes on Kachin. Everybody dumbest in this one. Nobody did this one. When Migdash Dabi, he points out this Rashi in the end of Chulin, and he says that it's against the Pasuk in Chumash. Rashi himself on Sefer writes the verse like that. It's against the Pasuk in Chumash, what Rashi says. To say that the Din of Tzolyom is also the Chuma is only going to get to Achilas Chuma. So the Tzolyom is prohibited to eat Chuma, but the Tzolyom who touches Chuma is nothing wrong. So he says it's a Pasuk in Chumash Fakir. It says the verse in the end of Mitzorah, not only that you eat Harav Shemesh with respect to an Adam Tome, it says with respect to a Keri. Says if you're a table, a cleat, tummy, and an ixer, if I'm mine, you go, it's a man who errs, it's a hair. So what do you mean? The cleat is going to eat truma. The cleat doesn't eat truma. Not okay. It's not enough. What should I have to cleat should eat truma? Obviously, if I'm mine, you go, your table, and tummy, they can cleat, it's a man who errs with respect to truma of a culture. What do you mean with respect to truma of a culture? That if you put truma of a culture in a cleat, then maga ha cleat, which is a tzolyom, will pass on truma of a culture. So the Messiah should pass it in Chumash. And there's a long Rashi in Saita, in the middle of Saita, before the second half of Saita was all about giving on his brother. But it's in the middle of Saita, there's one section there about a little bit about Tumah Ratara, about Shlishi and Ri and Hanishi and Tolyom and the Kippurim and all these things. The Rashi on the Daf in Saita explains it. That's the Perish of Pasuk in Chumash. How can you argue that point? So here Rashi in the beginning of the Tarshish, Tajriya, explains that usually when a person goes to mitzvah, so he has to wait till Harav Shemesh till the end of that day. Here, by the Yoleda, she goes to mitzvah, if it's a baby boy, she goes to mitzvah after 7 days. If it's a baby girl, she goes to mitzvah after 14 days. But then she's not only at Tfilat Yom till the end of the 8th day, till the end of the 15th day, that day that she went to mitzvah, she has to wait till the end of the long below, till the end of the 40 days are up, until the end of the 80 days are up, in order to be able to eat Tumah, and not called but Tfil Yom Oruch. She's a woman, so she's a Loshim and Tevet, Tzulat Yom, Aruch. You don't say Arucha, because it's not a description of her, it's a description of the Yom. There are 33 days, and the 66 days is a Yom Aruch, it's a long day. So she's called a Tzulat Yom Aruch. You don't have Kayetzidus anywhere else, but it's a Tzul Yom Aruch. It's not only by a woman. You don't have by a man Tzul Yom. It's only a Tzulat Yom Aruch. And then, after the 40 days are up, after the state of the Chama, the 40 days, after the state of the Chama, the 80th day, then she's permitted to eat Truma, but she's still not allowed to eat Kachin. And then to the Beis HaMikdash, still she brings the carbon, Hayor Ledes, which cannot be brought until the next day. She cannot bring that until the morning of the 41st day, or the morning of the 81st day. The Mishnah speaks about a, Mishnah, the end of Zohar, speaks about a Yor Ledes. Hurry. In her eagerness to do the mitzvah as early as possible, even until the mitzvah, she went ahead and she brought the carbon and yoled as tocham alos. So what's the din? So the chatas tocham alos is not kasha. Although why not? Oil is bought whenever you can bring another whenever you want. The oil is kasha, but the chatas is not kasha. The Mishnah says, therefore, the last parak in Zohar speaks about the din of shchut ekut, ashef et v'hamalos. You're not permitted to offer carbon, you're not permitted to bring carbon into New York, even though it's tocham alos and kaddish over here. But it's still, to the Kedushas Ha'azor, Adani lo higam. So you're not permitted, Zizman Hazeh, you're not allowed to bring Kabbanas anywhere. We don't have any Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to make Shkutin Kutz anywhere else. So the Mishnah said, the Tzukim Sein Chumish, and Parashat Sein Mor, the Tzukim Sein Chumish said, if a person brings a carbon in Kutz HaMikdash, he's Chai Kar, Shefet Bakut, Hamala Bakut. Two creases, one for Shefet Bakut, one for Mala. If you're Maksir and Murim Bakut, two creases. So the Mishnah says, however, that there is a restriction, there is a limitation. But then it's not a more when you say that there's a carbon, that the person is Shekha Bachut, and all of it, that's only if the carbon is Roy Lover or Pesach Almoy. That's how the Chumash describes it. If the person has a carbon, a Pesach Almoy, but he has Eo, then the Mishnah stuff. But if the carbon is not Roy Lover or Pesach Almoy, so then it's an Easter, to bring it Bachut, but there is no chiyuv kares. What's an example of a carbon which is not very lovable to Pesach Hamor? So the Mishnah gives this as an example. The Yoledes was mafresh a carbon chatos, but if Adayin lo higia hazman, she's going to be mafresh the carbon chatos, chutz la'azara, toch hamalos. The toch hamalos is not yaitzer. So since the carbon is not kosher, toch hamalos, the chatos is not kosher, toch hamalos, it's not very lovable to Pesach Hamor. So if you bring it bachutz, you wouldn't be chaz kares. It's an Easter, but you're not chaz kares. But if she'll bring the Ola Toham Alot in the Beis HaMikdash, it will be kosher. And Ola is Bob and Adu and Adava. Why shouldn't it be kosher? So therefore, if she'll shecht it, if anybody shecht the Ola Toledes, Chutz Mamikdash, Toham Alot, they will be chayiv kodesh. The Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnah said, "Yad HaChayav has a unique shot in the Mishnah." The Pesach shot in the Mishnah is very just said. The Oledes has to bring her karbanah to chayiv from the Ola after the Melot. And she brings herself on Melot, so the Ola is good and Ola is an Ola. You can bring an Ola whenever you want. The Pesach shot, you won't be Yitzer. She won't be Yitzer, the Ola is the Oledes. But an olah can be brought even if you're not doing yaitin dechavacha. An olah is brought the nedava. But the chatzis, they don't bother to have the nedava. If you bring the chatzis to chamalos, that's absolutely possible. So therefore, it's not very level to chamalos. The Rambam learns not so. The Rambam says that the olah is to bring the olah to chamalos. Is yotzeh? Not just that it's kosher. That it's olah gabi amizdech and it's kosher. But then she has to bring another olah to the olah after the olah. The Rambam says no. The olah to the olah is nedava, and therefore you can bring it whatever you want. It's surprising that's not the way it sounds. That's the way he understood the Mishnah in the Gemara. The end of the last person is rough. But the oldest Yoledes can be brought to Tocham Lo. Why do we call it a Malos? Because the Chumash calls it. The Malos, he made Tahar Lebein all about, because the Chumash calls it a Malos. But then we borrow this term from the Chumash, and we apply it in other instances as well. We say the end of Mishnah, the Torah says that a Zav and a Zavo have such a high Madrega of Tumah that they have to wait Shivin Akim. Safa lo Shivas Yamim. Safa lo Shivas Yamim. They have to wait Shivin Akim. So we call those Shivin Akim a Malos. My Nachimina, don't call them a Malos. What's the difference? You do call them a Malos, you don't call them a Malos. No, there's a special din, there's a special halacha. Let's say a person, one of the Islam loses a relative, so he has to learn the laws of Shivin. A person is Makabal Nazirus upon himself, he has to observe the laws of Nazirus for whatever number of days. But that's also called a Malos. There's a malos of Naziris. And if it's, you know, it becomes something in the middle of the malos, so you say to the whole malos. We call it a malos. We call Shloshim a malos. Shiva is a malos. My nachkinina that you call it a malos. We have a pasuk in Chumash, in the end of Parshas Metzora, that says that the Zav and the Zavo have to count Shivanikin. That's the question that I just said, what I just said, the correct translation is. She can't fear it. Here it says the Safa lo Shivas Yamim by the Zavo. It says by the Zav the Safa lo Shivas Yamim. The Safa means he should count. But the Safa lo just means he should wait Shivan Akim. That's the question. So the Shaloh HaKadosh has this opinion based on a Tesis in Subas. After all, that's what we're learning. It's a Tesis in Subas on Dafa and Beis HaMenala. But the Gemara happens to mention just Derech Agav has nothing to do with it. The Gemara happens to mention there by accident. That the woman can count Shivan Akim all by herself. And basis in the beginning of Gitan on that base on the day says that that pasuk, the Safa Lo Shivas Yamim, that the Gemara Darshan is exclusive to find based on enough. That pasuk is the mark of the sinful of Ein Echad none of these two. That's one opinion. The Achrayim points out that Rashi and Tesis, the two opinions are a machlokes in the Yishalmi. Yishalmi's run has a machlokes. What is the source of the institution of Ein Echad none of these two? All the other things we have spoken, that you need two A's and for Mammon and Apostles and Dovish of Yev and this and that and the other thing we know. How do you know that there's a din of Eidach and every thing? So Rashi writes in the beginning of Kulin that it says, Meshachat is Ben HaBokor, beginning of Aitha, it says, Meshachat is Ben HaBokor, and it sounds like Katara Haminu Kolodim Al Ashchita. It sounds like he doesn't have to have other people watching when he chefs. It sounds like everyone is Naman Al Ashchita on their own. And places, quoting this opinion, alluding to it, says, doesn't say it, but the Achorim says one opinion in Yerushalmi. They say that that's no mashmoyt over there, v'shochat as ben abochon. Maybe you really have to shech the ben abochon in the presence of your two kosher eidim. How do you know otherwise? The Tosfos says, no, the mocha for the dinah, they read them in the is this pasuk. And you end the parshas in so, that if it's a safa lo, shiros yam, v'achatitar, it says by the zab, a safa lo, there's a teres kohanim, and the gemara is actually a safa lo, the safa lo, the yachmo. That the person is believed to count all on their own. This is better than Chiddush. The Tosfos says that this is the mocker of the din of the Erech HaMem Yisurim. The Tosfos is obviously assuming that the Erech HaMem Yisurim even applies to women. The Safa Lo Yatzma applies to women. And we assume all the time, like that you go home and your mother gives you food, so you assume that it's kosher food. I go home, my wife gives me food, I assume, oh, it's kosher food. So you assume the Erech HaMem Yisurim. My wife tells me that it's kosher food. Not everybody agrees to that. Everybody needs to eat from your mother's food, but not everybody agrees that it's based on the din of Erech HaMem Yisurim. Many of the Shoyim claim that it's based on a different principle that the Gemara has in the first Perek in Pesachim and another. These are in other places that the Gemara has that right to publish a name that a religious man dies and he has a house full of food. So let's say he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and all the fruits and the vegetables and anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael is shredded until tendril, until you mark it from the nitrate. Let's say the meat has to be salted all over the world. So let's say the man dies and we don't know. He has a house full of food, and we don't know whether the food is kosher or is not kosher. So the Gemara says, you have the right to assume chavish and nesu, you need a gura, malay aperit, you need a barn full of fruits and vegetables and grain, you're permitted to eat everything because chazata, chavish and nesu, chavish and nesu. It's a numdina, ruda, lazy, kamon, that a religious man would not leave non-kosher food around the house, and he certainly took care of the tumas of mice. Unless he got a sudden heart attack and he died unexpected, but then maybe, but if he's old and he knew that he was going to die a day before, but then he assumed that everything around the house is kosher. So the Gemara says that this bumdin and this ruba delay to come on is not only restricted to that instance, to that situation of kosher food in the house. It applies to everything. My wife is a religious girl and your mother is a religious woman. And the Sama, they wouldn't give you non-kosher food. Chazak al-Khabar is not going to give you non-kosher food. So the fact that you can eat from the food that your mother gives you or that your wife gives you is not necessarily an indication that it evidently really applies to women. It could be that the Olam doesn't apply to women. But just like a woman's testimony is not accepted in Mominus in the Toshis from Dovah Shabiyeva, perhaps a woman would not be in a menace in Yisurim either. And the reason why we rely on women is a different part, because Hakol Chaver makes so kashrus. Just like Chavah Shemesh, if the Chavah died, he doesn't say a word. So where's Eid Echanan and Yisurim? The man didn't tell me that the food is kosher. You don't need that he should tell me, you don't need that he should even imply to me. We assume it's a room dinner, Ruben the Lake to come on. He's a religious man. He's not going to have non-kosher food in his house. But the woman is religious, he has the same Ruben the Lake to come on. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell a lot of stories when he gave the shiur. Because he told all these stories, that's why the Talmidim remembered the shiur so much. Every din that he said, he told them a story. So to the dinim, you might forget, but the story you can't forget. And the man, you had to remember the punchline. So he said, maybe remembered all the dinim. He told a whole fantastic story, a long story. And he always used to say, and it's a true story. I heard it from father. That was always a true story, I heard it from father. So he told a story, there's a famous Shuvan and Erebi Huda. It was a Talmud Chacham whose wife was having an affair with somebody else. So the din is that they have to get divorced. But this Talmud Chacham didn't want to divorce his wife. The Gemara Talmud Chacham said he wrote a whole shuvah. He wrote a whole shkidot Torah why the woman is Neteres Lebailo. He then got onto Talmud Chacham and he wrote a filfu with I think seven reasons why the woman was Neteres Lebailo, because the witnesses didn't exactly see everything. So he had seven sneakers in Lohakim. So the Baal Shem Tov and the Rebbe Yehuda both lived in the same community for a while. And then the Baal Shem Tov made a hofat, he kept on, they were both tumbling against this guy, that he had to get divorced from his wife. And somehow the government, this rabbi, this Talmid Chacham, was a Korban Malchus, and they got the police, the local government, whatever, the mayor of the city, to make a proclamation that whoever says Lashon Hara against his wife is going to go to jail or something. They're going to punish him. So the Baal Shem Tov was Moshe Nefesh. He kept on tumbling that the woman is also the Baal, and he left town. He ran away before they had a chance to arrest him. The Rebbe Yehuda wanted to do something about it, but he couldn't. So he wrote a tshuva to ask the woman of Baal. She has a long tshuva. Chelak Aleph for the Rebbe Yehuda. There are two volumes of Chelak Aleph, Madura Kama. He has a Chelak Eben Ezra, a long tshuva. He has a lot of tshuvas about Gnus. He lived in a city in the city. Prague was a very, like usual, it was a very modern city. That he had, and then at one time in his life, he writes in a tshuva that's written. He writes like an old man, and he's exhausted. And he says, "Leave me alone with the zaynus with the priests. Go with somebody else already. I don't know." And then he reads another Chamisha Feinstein tshuvas, and the latest volume of Chelak Evanes is all one after the other, all the shaylos from New York City about the priests and his news and everything. What he do about this? What he do about that? So that used to be the Nevi Yehuda, was in there, big modern city. So he used to get all these miserable. Shiloh. So he has this long tshuva, Simenayim Beis, very long tshuva, goes on and on and on. When you learn Sanhedrin, Bavchet, the tshuva of Leitze Shemra, that's the main maramachim that you have to learn. That tshuva is not a Yehuda, it discusses what it takes to say on Adab. On Bavchet and Beis, very relevant to Halachal Maitre, that's tshuva of Sanhedrin Bavchet. There's a long tshuva where he goes, Sirat Hatta Aleph, Sirat Hatta Beis, Sirat Hatta Gimel, Sirat Hatta Zayin. Here he goes, he says to all of the heterim that the husband has, the Talmud Chacham has, why his wife is in Tereseva, so he disagrees with each one, he says that they're all wrong. So you go to Tshuva, what's he going to do with the Tshuva? Nobody asked him the Shaila. The rabbi didn't ask, the Talmud Chacham didn't ask him the Shaila. He was going to remain living with his wife. So he sent his Tshuva to the Becha David. Becha David was a Sardis Rav in Constantinople. He wrote a sefer called Divrei Emes. No one ever, Ashkenazim never read. And they just reprinted it around 25 years ago. They reprinted it and it was sitting in the store. Sitting in the store, no one's buying. You can probably buy it for a dollar and a half. No one's interested in buying the Becha David sefer. It's a big deal, no? It's Sardis Shatamachov. So he writes, now you hear the writes, he gives the Becha David from Constantinople, sent him to Shiloh. Shiloh was in his backyard, it didn't come from Constantinople. But he couldn't tell anybody what he had. So he wrote this tshuva and then he printed it later on. He wanted everybody to. He didn't say that it's about this man and his community. He made believe as if this Shiloh was there for him. So he sent to the Becha David this tshuva, what did he say about this? So that's what Rashi added on. Part of this story was that Tal Shem Tov sent a famous letter from Europe to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon Kitzever in Eretz Yisrael, about the Aliyas Neshama that he had on Rosh Hashanah, that he had a dream that he went up to heaven and he saw Mashiach, and he asked, "Must I also mar? You know, Rav Avishai Mingit, must sign. So that's that letter that he sent. So he asked another Hamashiach, "When are you going to come already?" The Mashiach told him, "Shiach Chutzim, I Nesecha Chutzim, and you will spread the word of Chassidus all over the world." So that letter about the Aliyas Neshama that he had, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, whatever it was, there was no official mail, there was no international mail service. So they had, when you have someone, you know, like if you know someone going to Eretz Yisrael, so everybody wants to give him a letter. So they knew someone was going to Eretz Yisrael via Constantinople. So he's going to stop off and get the boat and then go. So these two letters were carried by the same man. See, that's what I tell the whole story. He remembered everything. Remembered all the details. So he said, the letter that the Baal Shem Tov sent to his brother-in-law, was the letter that the Nebi Yehuda sent to the Becha David in Constantinople, these were carried by the same guy. One was dropped off in Constantinople. On the other one, when the guy reached Eretz Yisrael, he delivered that letter. So in this letter that he sent to the Becha David, you have to write, L'chlod harab ha-goyin ha-mafus, and say, he writes, Shmalti, L'shem Yisrael, Merit. So generations later, there was a great one, Rabbi Zulchan. It comes to our prime district. Rabbi Zulchan, he was a rabbi in the city, Zulchan in New York. So Rabbi Zulchan is, everybody read the Rabbi in history, such title. And he figured he was going to buy the sefer. He never had the Divrei Emes. But he heard Yehuda writes what a great God like he was. So he spent 5 rubles, whatever it was, a lot of money at that time, to buy the sefer. He bought the sefer. He was very disappointed. He was a genius. He knew Yerushalmi was going to sing the sefer by himself, and he didn't need this sefer. This is not. So once at a meeting of Rabbanim, the Rabbanim used to have a Vada Rabbanim in Poland, used to get together, talk and learning, and then he used to speak about the politics of the day, whatever had it made. Years ago, the Rabbanim used to run the world. Rabbanim used to run all the politics. So, before they got to speak about the social sibur, so they were talking and learning. So, Rabbi Zulcharek was very, it was called Rabbi Zulcharek, he was very sharp. So he said, when I come to the Olam HaEmes, when I die, I'm going to bring the Rabbi Yehuda to a dinner that he was not to bring 5 rubles. Before the news that I spent 5 rubles to buy that sefer, the Torah says damage. He says it's worthless, I didn't get anything out of it. So Abchaim Soloveitchik was there. So he asked him, what's the din of Ein Echad Emes Yisurim by women? He said, what kind of a super shah? Of course, Ein Echad Emes Yisurim by women. Why not? The sefer. Stuff a lot of yasma. Well, of course. You're lying, right? So he says, the 5 rubles was worth it. Take the Divrei Emes and look through. He proves that a whole group of Rishonim say not so. That Tamar the Tamar Rishonim. Big Rishon, not some places, read in the media. Yeah, it's right, this crisis has major Rishon. They hold that an academic Rishon doesn't apply to nothing. They hold that the stuff of Lonely Asma is not the mother, not like places. They hold that Vayisha doesn't apply. And the reason why you can rely on your mother, the reason why you can rely on your wife, when they tell you that it's kosher, if the religious women, it's going to be assumed that Hakal Chaver, and they feel kosher, if the religious people, to Ruba the Lace to come on, that they're not going to give you non kosher food. Anyway, that comes to it. So he, so there is a din over here, the Sofa law, the Sofa law Shiva Yom, that sometimes you need Shiva in a team. So why does it say the Achatisa? It should say the Sofa law Shiva Yom in the Yitzahir. Obviously. And he says you have to wait 7 days before you go to Mitzvah. So it means that after the 7 days are up, you go to the Mitzvah. The letter says the Sofa law by the Zava by the Zava. The Sofa law Shiva Yom in the Yitzahir. Why the Acha Yitzhar? So the Gemara in the end of Nida discusses it. What is the word for Acha come to teach us? So Reb Shimon says, and that's how he talks in like, the Tana Reb Shimon. Shimon says, the Acha Tita, Acha Maitre Tita. She just has to count the Shiva Nikiyim, and when she counts the Shiva Nikiyim on the seventh day, Tita. What exactly does that mean? I said again wrong. I said again wrong. She should count. She doesn't count. Since Shalua Kodesh says, based on the patience and scriptures of Foundation of Malice, that the Sofala means that she counts. Just like Sphere Sun means that she counts. So it's over here. The Sofala means that she counts Sphere of the Said. But the Nabi Yehuda has a tshuva. It's a tshuva quote. Nabi Yehuda says, the prophet says in Kohelet, oh, his tester, lo yiva tester, that people like money will never be satisfied with all the money that they have. The sheish one money wrote in his son, whoever has $100 wants $200. Nabi says, ain't on a maze with Hatti Kavot to the other. When people die, they still don't have enough. With all the millions and billions of dollars they have, they're still not satisfied. They always want more. So the Medrash has a comment on that topic. It's not only true in Gashmi, it's true in Ruchnius also. Oh, you've mitzvahs, well, you've got mitzvahs. The Medrash paraphrases the topic. The people, whatever a person is into, the person will never be satisfied. Now, my Medrash will be more like the topic. The Medrash will never be satisfied with all the searching and yearning and looking for more of whatever they're into. They're into eating and drinking, so they want to have more. They're into money, so they want more. And so into mitzvahs, so then the Medrash says, oh, mitzvahs will even be mitzvahs. So the Medrash discusses, by Shur Abbeinu, different tzaddikim, that they were so into mitzvahs that they were never satisfied with all the mitzvahs they had, always wanting to do more mitzvahs. So the Nabi Yehuda quotes that lashon, oh, mitzvahs will even be mitzvahs. They say, the Shalom HaKadosh was an oh, mitzvahs. He loved the mitzvahs so much, he invented another couple of mitzvahs. He says, there ain't no such mitzvahs that the Tzira Shidrikim has to be declared. Mizaba, Mizaba, Mizaba don't have to count. Hayayim, Yayim Echad, Mishira Shidrikim. Hayayim, Shnei Yamin, Mishira Shidrikim. There is no such thing. What does it mean, the Safola? Where did the Shalom get it from? The Shalom got it from the Taisus and Sufis. The Taisus care, just like we say, Abraham, Mishira, Sayim, every day. Why doesn't the Zav or the Zav say Abraham when they do this, Mishira Shidrikim? The Taisus answers that they, it may turn out to be a bracha of Torah. She may have a dam later on, or the dam may have a riyah. Later on, it will be sliced of the day, or be sliced of the whole week. So since it's a suffix, the suffix of the bracha, you don't say. You don't say a bracha. So the Shalom says, the pashtus of the Taisus implies that they meant when they count Hayyam Yam Echo, the Swedish Shemunikim, they should say a bracha before they count. The Taisus just removes the bracha, but you remain with the din that you can't see or the test. So the Nebuchadnezzar says it's not true. The Taisus never meant it. So what did Taisus mean? Nobody who doesn't explain. So that's all they should be explaining. And we learned the Yizimim the other day. He says, no. What does it mean, Tzira Shidim Tzim? That they have to make B'dikis every day? The Mishnayim says. The Zavah, the Zavah, the Zavah is supposed to make B'dikis every day. So that's the translation of the Safala, not the count. Safala means that you do the B'dikis. And so this Kasha was, when the Isha does the B'dikis, when the Zavah, or the Zavah, whenever these people the end of the Sabbath do the B'dikis during the Shidim Tzim, why don't we require they should say a bracha before they do the tzitzit? But that's fear of the fair, that no one ever held like that. No one ever meant to say like that. But this is the answer. You can't say a bracha. It may turn out to be a bracha of atom. A couple points. So the Gemara has this drasha. In the end of the Nida, the Gemara quotes the drasha of Rav Shimon. It's a teres tehadim. I'm just talking to the story. The Tzafu Mashira Tzalmi V'achar Tzitzit. What is the meaning of the Achar? Let it say the Tzafu Mashira Tzalmi. This is so here. This is so here. The other Bamai. Achatita means all they have to do is they don't have to wait the full 7 days. The Zavon is over. They say, this is the thing of Mitzvah Tayom Tikulo. That if they'll do the Sphere, they'll do that Bidikir, or according to the Shalom, they'll do the Sphere of the Seh, whatever the word B'Sofa means, if they'll do their Maitre Sphere in the morning, so they write it. And then if they see in the morning that there's no Dam and the Zav sees that there's no Ria Ziva, they can go to Mitzvah right away in the morning. And that's acceptable. So this is the mocha, this pasuk, racha tita, racha maitha tita, this pasuk is the mocha of the din of mitzvah sayyam tikula. Mitzvah sayyam tikula applies to us, let's say someone is sitting shiva, so you just have to sit shiva till the morning of the seventh day, and then you say mitzvah sayyam tikula. Someone is in aveilah shloshim, so when it comes the morning of the 30th day, you say mitzvah sayyam tikula. Or somebody is a nazir for 30 days, or for 100 days, or for 1,000 days. So on the last day, however, they have to have a minimum of 30 days, so it can be as many days, more than 30 as he wants, has to go on unit 30. He can't say he wants to be a nazir for 41 and a half days. 41 and a half days, he's a nazir for 42 days. So on the last day of the nazir, the Gemara says a nazir, that he says mitzvah sayyam tikula. So some afraid of my father with their kasha, if there is really a din of mitzvah tikula, why don't we say that on Shabbos morning? You can go down by the first minyan. Years ago, there used to be a lot. Used to be a first minyan on Shabbos morning. Not that people want to sit and learn the whole day. They don't want to hear the rabbi's sermon. The people had to go to work. People went to work. So it used to be all the time. A first minyan on, imagine if there are such Orthodox children. Orthodox children used to have. So the first minyan, the people davened in the morning, and then they went to work. So some of them ask, what's wrong? Mikseh Yom Kippurim? Why can't you say Mikseh Yom Kippurim? So the pashtus is that Mikseh Yom Kippurim only applies when you're dealing with a malod. The whole marker of the din is by Zavah is a malod. Shabbos Yontif is not a malod. Shabbos Yontif is a calendaric day. You look on the calendar, that's printed already. That day is Shabbos, the whole day. What do you mean Mikseh Yom Kippurim? So the Yontif is also going to be Shabbos. Yontif, the whole day is Yontif. Hashem came here, this is a malot that's superimposed on the calendar. The person doesn't know when they're going to become a Zabar or Zabar, when they're going to have Avelis. The person is a Kabbalah Mizrach in the middle of nowhere. The woman had a baby. Whenever she has a baby, that's when the malot begins. That's a Zman, that's a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. It's not really a calendaric thing.
It's
also calendaric. When the calendar is printed, you know that between Pesach and Shavuot is Shtir. That's not a Malach. The question is, what about a Zav of Tano? The din is in the end of Parshas Mitzora that there's such a thing as a Zava Gdola and a Zava Tana, two different things. There's a Nidra and there's a Zava. The Chumash says when the Isha has done the 8th Nidra, when it's close to come, then she's a Nidra. When the Dam comes to a low 8th Nidra, then she becomes a Zava. What kind of a Zava does she become? If she had done one day or 2 days, then she's only a Zavat Tana. She's only Shemeret Yom Kenevi Yom. She's made the next day. But if she has done 3 days in a row, 3 consecutive days, the lowest she does so, then she becomes a Zavat Gdolah, and she needs Shivin Akim, and she needs Tov. So the question is, the Gemara says the Ferish, the Mishnah says the Ferish, that not only did you apply Mitzvah Hayom to Kula by Yusuf Allah, Shivat Yom Abachat Tita, a Zavat Gdolah, who has to count 7 days, even by a Zavat Tana, you also say mitzvah hayayim tikkulot. That the woman doesn't have to wait a whole day the next day. She can wait till the morning, make a bedikah of the one day, and then go to mitzvah min atarim. The rabbana de rachumis. The Gemara has the rabbana de rachumis made a chumis that you're not allowed to rely on mitzvah and tikkulot. Gives you a whole reason why. So the question is that called a malot? Yeah, and in this sense, it's a malot that it's not a calendaric day. It's a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. But can you really legitimately call this a malot? It's only one day. Malos means a whole bunch of days, no? Malos, and Malos, you make the whole other day and all the back. You have a Malos of 40 days or 80 days. You have Shiva, you have Shloshim. That's a Malos. But can you really call this? The Nazir is a Malos. It's a whole bunch of days. Malos Hayam. Can you call one day a Malos? That by a Gavatana you say, Mr. Sayam Kikuloi. This is the question. Is it really legitimate to call a one day Sayam Malos? The Rasharavetri thought that it's not. He thought that is the terror to the Kasha of the Gaonim. And the Eitzar Adon in the end of the seventh time is they bothered with a Kasha. They don't ask the Kasha that they're afraid of. That's a funny Kasha. Why don't you spend anything to cool on Shabbos and Yom Kippur? It's like a calendaric day. That's not a Kasha. They ask a different Kasha. They ask, why don't you spend anything to cool on Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tavis and some Gedalim, Shabbos of the Tammuz, which are Nihu Gavelin? Those are Nihu Gavelin. It happened that Beit HaMikdash was charred on that day. It happened that the Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed on them. It happened all these things happened to be. And it happened that we observed that every year. In commemoration, we observed that. But can you really call that a calendaric day? That should also be a Zman that's superimposed on the Luach because of the fact that some event occurred on that day. So that Luachar is not a calendaric day. So that should be considered a malo. So why not say Mikdash Sayyan Kikula? That's the Kashi that's going in there. Before Rashi. The great man of that Kashim, but also Rashi thought that in order to be labeled as a Malos, you have to have a group of days. Malos Hayamim, the word. Milu Hayamim, you have to have a whole bunch of days. And it's only one day he thought he can't call him Malos. I stayed discouraged by Zavat Tana. In Mishnah, it says, the end of Nid, and the last thing Nid, that the same Nid stands to be called by Zavat Tana. So also Rashi thought, maybe since Zavat Tana is a part of Zavat Zayla. The Vastana means that she doesn't have to wait the full 7 days. She only has to wait one of the 7 days. Since it's a part, it's a mixture of the Zavat Gaila, so maybe that's called a Maloit. because of Zavad Gaila is a Maloi. So therefore, Zavad Tano, you cut off a section of the seven eggs, so that's called a Maloi. This is a question whether this is correct or not. In the Ha'orah of Rabbi Yeruchim Pella, on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigon wrote a poem that they used to recite on Shavuot, in the middle of davening, where he mixed up all of the Tayyadnik, Al-Torah. All of the Balei HaPesach, they all used to recite Al-Torah. They used to recite on Shavuot, to use him that contained all the Tayyadnik. But Derech Agav, they would give you their opinion as to what they consider the Tayyadnik, how they count the Tayyadnik. So Rabbi Yeruchim Pella, who just lived before the Second World War, has a long, a big fat, three big fat volumes. So explain all the different opinions of the different Dreyden and the different Paitonim and the different Balei HaPesach, what's considered, he quotes the Teusim and Admiris and Samunda Deret. He digs up all kinds of things to show who held what opinion regarding which mitzvah. So he has a little bit of an essay on this. On Zavatano Zavat Doyla, he has a shayla. Is Zavatano a mitzvah of Zavat Doyla, or is it a different thing completely? Just like, let's say, the different tomatoes. A Maseira is a different topic. So Masmeis is a different tumor. A Yoledis is a different tumor. So who says that Zavad Doyla and Zavad Sana Adilayla just could use the same word? Maybe it's in Gansan a different thing. Maybe the meaning of Zavad Sana is one tumor and Zavad Doyla is in Gansan a different thing. It may not be necessarily, you don't necessarily have to say that Zavad Sana is a mikvah of Zavad Doyla. So he shows that there is a Mefurish and Machlok Perishaner about this. Do all the laws of Zavad Doyla apply to Zavad Sana in miniature or not? He wants to say perhaps this is a machleket solution. If one should assume that it's not so, that Zavad Doyla is not really a mitzvah of Tuma and Zavad Doyla, it's a different din Tuma. So then there's no reason to say that it's considered a malos because it's a mitzvah of the big malos. So then you force him to say that there is such a thing as a malos of one day. You force him to say that there is. You have a similar shayla that Gemara has by Abel Shiva. On the last day of Shiva, you say Mitzvah Chaya in Sekula. So what if you have a case where you only observe Abel Shiva and Mechot? The Gemara says it in the beginning of Tzachim, in the last Tzachim, my cousin, that if a person is notified after 30 days after the death of the relative, that's called the Shmur Rechaifa. Shmur Kareiv is when the person is notified within 30 days that the relative died. So then the person, the Obelites, observes Shiva and Shloshim. But if a person is notified after 30 days, after the death, so then that's called Shmur Rechaitra, we pass him, Achlej Satanai, what the deal is, and we pass from Shmur Rechaitra, and the Hedisel, or the Nechot Zodai. You only observe Avelis one day. And that one day, the Gemara says you can chisel that off, and say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulot. You can see the Tayyar says, you say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulot on one day. You say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulot on one day. So let me say again, that since the Shiva, since 7 days is a Malos of a bunch of days, so the Avelis of Yen Nechot is considered that we label it as a Malos because we've broken it off from the big 7 days, so it also has the status of a Malos. Maybe. Or maybe you should say that it's not. Maybe one should say that it's not so. Maybe the Pshat is with Avelis Yen Nechot is talking not a Malos. And the fact that you only have to observe Avelis Shachas is not based on Mitzvah Sayyam Tekuloi. No, maybe Tach Pitzvah Lulach Atchilah. That when a person is notified, the Shmur Rechaito, Eir in the Hedra Shal Shachas Bilvad. Maybe that's the getter of it. Eir in the Hedra Shal Shachas Bilvad. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. It sounds like the Yeridea that it says like that. In the Gemara, it sounds one way, in the Yeridea, it sounds the other way. In the Gemara, beginning of stuff and tells a story. That Rav was Matthew of Rachia, both ways. In other words, Rav's father was a half brother of Rachia, and Rav's mother was a half sister of Rachia. His father and his mother were half sisters, half brother. They weren't related at all. They didn't have anything in common, but they shared common half brothers and half sisters. So his parents died. Rav's parents died. So he moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yudah Nasi, to learn by Rabbi Nasi. So he came. He met his uncle at Chia. So uncle asked him, "How's my brother?" So he says, "How's your father?" He lets him know in a nice way that he died away. And he says, has your mother? He lets him know that his mother died away. But his mother says, this is years after he died. Years after he died. He had no nail there. So the din is that he only has to observe Abelis and Nechot. So the mother says he took off his shoes. Rachia took off his shoes to observe Abelis. So that was only for a few minutes. And then he told him, take my towel and let's go to the bathhouse. I'm going to take a shower. Let's take a bath. So he's not taking bets, he's deserving Avelos to demonstrate to teach the Din Torah that it's Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Shema Minot Plas, he learns from this story the following thing, that a novel has to take off his shoes, that a novel is not allowed to take a bath, but that he's saying Mitzvah Yom Kippur, and the Shema, four things. And he's saying, and he says, Shmur Echoika, and in the Heger, Salo Yom Echad Dovad. He sees in the Gemara that the basic thing is that Shmur Echoika is no Heger, Yom Echad a whole day, but he can break it off, he can chisel away, and say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. What if the person, let's say somebody's sitting Shiva, and he doesn't want to break off the Shiva in the morning of the seventh day. He wants to remain in observance of Shiva through the rest of the day. So they should go and use the same as a day. If you want to wait a whole day, wait a whole day. If he wants to sit Shiva for 8 days, then do whatever he wants. That's not a kingdom of observance of Avelis. But if he wants to remain in observance of Avelis till the end of the full 7 days, okay, so don't use the mean as the cooler. If you don't want to use the cooler, let's say the Zohar. The Zohar has to go to mix in the morning of the seventh day. She doesn't want to share. So they demand that we don't allow it. If Shimon says in the Gemara at the end of the meeting, we don't allow it, this man is there. In Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a kula. But the Nazir, the Mishnah says, the Nazir, if the Yedet, he brought the Karbonis on the last day of the Malon, if the Yedet, it would be good. But the Chachila, we don't recommend that. The Chachila is going to wait till the end of the entire day and bring the Karbonis tomorrow. Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a thing, that if you want to, you can chisel away on the last day of the Malon. So the Pasuk Shat in the Gemara is that when you have a Shmur Rechoyko, it's Mehegis Yermechot, Shema Mino, Shmur Rechoyko, Nehen, and Mehegis Ali Yermechot. The Shema Mino, another Shema Mino, that Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulay. The fact that he would want to observe Avedis the whole day, Rav Chiya would want to observe Avedis to his brother and his sister, his parents are dry. He would have observed the whole day and it would be a thing. You look in the Yerudeya, you get the impression that it's not so. Because in the Yerudeya, there is a Machlekes HaRishayim that the Ramban quotes in the Sefer Torah to Odom. Rabban wrote a book, Torah Adam, about the first, about babies being born and dying, and the laws of Abelis, and the laws of Tisha B'Av, of Kiyazia, the laws of taking care of the sick, Tisha Cholim, and so on. A lot of Dinam in Yerudeya based on the Torah Adam, the Tur quotes heavily from Torah Adam. A lot of Dinam Al-Khani, you know, for Shabbat, about care for the sick on Shabbat and Yom Tov, it's all based on Vitas and like the Ramban. So, you have to. The beginning of the last day of Shiva. Does the halacha require that the oval has to observe Shiva till the morning of the seventh day? Or can you say he can hack up the Avelis the night also? What's the deal? So this is a machlokes in the Ramban and the Torah Sagi for opinions on that. So how do we talk until we know? We always wait till the morning. Everybody waits till the morning of the seventh day. The same mitzvah say Yom Tikkurah. The Chachma Sodom has a Shuvah in the end of the state. The Chachma Sodom has a few Shuvahs there. One of the Shuvahs is about this. You guys are Nidrogen, we really talk to the Hafel, and it's a big Shasat Chak, so the thing is that one would be permitted to break off their Shiva, even the night of their last day of Shiva. But we don't, there's no Shasat Chak, and in normal circumstances, we follow that opinion that you don't say Mitzvah to Kula Balayla, you only say it by Yom. Tesis has a Mishnah like that. So Machlokes is Rashi and Tesis, and Tesis says that Rashi is wrong. How can Rashi say that Rashi himself, and how can Rashi say Mitzvah to Kula Balayla? It's against the Nothing of Mishnah Nidrogen. So that's what we assume, like the Sefer said, Mitzvah Kippur only applies by Yom, it doesn't apply by Lai. So the Gerta Dizdin of Shmur Echoika, these are two streets of one next to the other. Mechaber writes, a person is sitting Shiva, so you say Mitzvah Kippur in the late day Shiva, but you only say in the morning, not the night before. And then the next street, the Mechaber writes, one next to the other on the same page. If the person heard a Shmur Echoika, so he's only knowing Yom Echad, and on that Yom Echad you can say Mitzvah Kippur of Bein by Yom and Bein by Lai. If the person heard in the middle of the night that a relative died, he takes off his shoes for 15 minutes and then he can take a bath that night. So Chatzira, one sees against the other. He just wrote in the previous year, said, you know, I'm saying it's going to be cool up all Isla by Avelis. Then the next day he says that Bashmur Chayki Yibus and he's going to be cool up all Isla by Avelis. So that's the way she suggested that perhaps the Mechaber understood that the Din of Shmur Chayki is that it's not really a Din of Mitzvah and Kekulai. Because it's really questionable, can you say Mitzvah Yom Kippur, but it's only one day. Maybe one day is not called a malos. Maybe you can only use the concept of a malos. Mitzvah Yom Kippur means that you have a malos of several days, a bunch of days, on the last day of the series of days. You have a series of days, which is superimposed on the calendar. So don't ask the kasha from Yom Tov, let's say Shabbos is one day. Okay, so you're not going to say. So don't ask the kasha on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a series of days, so let's say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So we said it already, that's the calendaric day. But if you're not dealing with the calendar day, you're dealing with a day superimposed on the calendar, so is it a series of days that's superimposed? Then we can call it a malosh. On the last day of the series, you'll say Ixtus Hayom Kippur, but if it's not a series of days, it's only one day, the Hakkolah is itself, that's it. And maybe then the whole day of the Mitzvah Yom Kippur is never said. Either the Gemara says Mefur is by one day of Avela, so the Mechaba perhaps understood that that's not really based on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. That's based on Melechatzila Tachtik Mechatzah, that you only have to observe Shoahat. The question is, how did he read in the Gemara? The Gemara says, Shmami Rasla, Shmami Na... How can it be an opinion that you say Mitzvah Yom Kippur Balayla? And Chacham Sforim says that the B'Shas HaChadron would be passing like that. Remember, there was once a case, a man died, and the wife had a picture, and then she was only dying to have, she was going away from Yom Tov or something like that, and she was only dying to have her hair done before she goes away from Yom Tov, and she wasn't interested in waiting until the morning of the seventh day. So she came crying to her local Orthodox rabbi. So she was crying so much, she wasn't crying over the death of the husband, she was crying never to have her hair done before she goes away to the hotel or whatever for Yom Tov. So her rabbi thought that was such a good shot on Chazorah, so he told her she should wait till the night of the seventh day. And then Chacham Sforim says, of shot on Chazorah, he said, you hack up your Averis at night, then you send Mitzvah to Kula. Then she can take her haircut, whatever, she was run out of the house in order to have the hair done. Oh, maybe. Look at her shit. That's a shot on Chazorah. The Gemara has a din that people don't know. The Gemara has a din that women who are sitting shiva are not permitted to wear jewelry. Because they have to, shiva means they have to dress maneuver. Unless it's a single girl. Because someone may come to the Nahamavo and she may lose an opportunity for a good shiva. She's going to look ugly. The Gemara says a single girl, even when she's sitting shiva, has to make sure that she looks good. But she shouldn't lose up on a chance of a shiva. Unless she takes any money. So this is the question, how can it be a machloikis alishayim? And how can a chacham sforim pass in the shasat kavod that you send the kiyam tikkuda by avelos at night? Tzedakah shows it could have finished a mission in the end of Mizra, that's by the Zohar who has to count Shiva. The Zohar is the original din. The Zohar shows him, v'acha titta, the whole mock of Mitzvah tikkuda by Moses is this possibly acha maitha titta. But it doesn't mean after the 7 days. No, it means after the sira on the seventh day. When she does the Vedic in the morning of the seventh day, Yachatika. So the Mishnah says the Seirish, if the Zavro will do the Vedic at the night of the seventh day and go to Mitzvah that night, it says in the Mishnah that she's tied current if she'll be with her husband later. There's absolutely nothing. You don't say Mitzvah to Kula Balayla. That's Tanki Kasha against Rashi. Rashi writes in a few places, in Sochem, in Nozer, a couple of other places. Rashi learns the Gemara that you say Mitzvah to Kula Balayla. The Tosfos pioneers against the Rashi, a long Tosfos. And it says against the Jewish and Mishnah, it says black and white that you don't apply Mitzvah Sayyam Kippulai Balayla. So how can the Jewish Shayim say otherwise against the Mishnah? The Rashi is a territory on Rashi. Rashi said it between Rabbi Yossi, not between the Rabbanon. Rashi is already Mazda the Rashi. Rashi is not sure, but this is a terror. How can anybody say Aloha Lamaita that you say Mitzvah Kippulai Balayla? It's against the Jewish and Mishnah. So the Ramban in the Torah Garden explains what's going on. It says like this. It says in the Torah, the Sofa Lashi Rat Yomim. What does it mean, the Sofa Lashi? It means the Chacham had a tradition. The word the Sofa means she has to do the Bedikas. So these Bedikas have to be done in the daytime, during the period of the daytime, up to the Bedikas, in the middle of Shivan Akin, be done by Laila. So the Ramban writes explicitly. Very strange that in our generation, a generation before your generation, it was a machlokes. The Chazanish disagrees with everybody else. Chazanish says the Bedikas can be done by Laila. Everybody else held that it's absolutely wrong. The Ramban says the same. The Bedikas cannot be done by Laila. Okay. The Chazanish is clever on the Ramban. He interprets the whole Talmud of Babel. But the Ramban says it's always possible that the Bedikas cannot be done by Laila. When it says the Safa Lo Shivas Yomin, it means that the spirit of the Bedikas has to be done by Yom or by Laila. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Tosfos in Mizrah that if a woman has to go to Mitzvah, she has to count Shiva Nikiyim, so she has to make two Bedikas every day of Shiva Nikiyim. So the two Bedikas should be made, the first tzaddik should be made in the morning, and the second tzaddik should be made late in the afternoon before shkia. So Moshe Feinstein has a shul where he writes, and what if the woman was shopping, she was busy, whatever, and she missed the opportunity to make the late tzaddik in the afternoon before shkia? And if after shkia, she says, no, so let her make the tzaddik at Bein HaShemash, herself again. But what if she came home and it's Vadai Laila? So sure, after says, come. Then Moshe writes, it's worthless to make a tzaddik after Tzeitzah Kechavim, so let her not bother to make the tzaddik. The tzaddik has to be done by Yom. That's the ABC of the tzaddik. So it's all Yom. The tzaddik means the tzaddik has to be done by Yom or by Laila. So the Ramban explains, if it's Achar Tzitzin, it's Achar Ma'itah Tzitzah, you can say Mitzvah Sayyam Tikuloi, you can say Mitzvah Sayyam Tikuloi on the last day of the Malot, if you do some Nihuk that you're supposed to do, some observance that's supposed to be done on the Malot. What's the nihuk that you do by the zav and the zava? The tzaddikus. But the nihuk of tzaddikus has to be done by yom. The tzaddikus can't be done by laila. So that's why you don't say mitzvah tikkula by laila. It's not that there's a din of mitzvah tikkula that can only apply by yom and not by laila. For mitzvah tikkula to apply, the person has to do some hanhog. He has to do the nihuk that's required. And then you'll say, the achatita rachamaita tita, the person that already did their nihuk on the last day of the malot, so they will yet say they can break off the malot. And the nihuk cannot be done by Laila because the tzaddikus of Shimon and Kiyam require Yom. Hashem came by Avelos, the Ramban says, what is the din of a person only observes Avelos by Yom or by Laila? The exact same din of Avelos is not done by Yom or by Laila. Shiva, Shloshim, whatever it is. So the person can be married Avelos by Laila on the night of the seventh day of Shiva and say, Nixen Tukula by Laila. That's the one day in the Ramban. That's the one that the Chachmah Sodom says the Bishak of Chachmah Pasma yet. And the other day in the Ramban is no. So the Mechaber Pasuk is like on the normal sort of thing, no. The halacha is that you never say Mitzvah Sayyam Tekula by Laila, period. Not only by spirit, nothing to do with the fact, according to the Chazanish, you have to say like that. So the Chazanish disagrees with the whole premise. Chazanish says, there's nothing wrong with making the tzaddikus by Laila. There's up that the tzaddikus has to be done by Yom. So according to the Chazanish, the tzaddikus can be done by Laila. So why can't you say Mitzvah Tekula by Laila, by the Dovo? The Mishnah says the Ferish is you can't apply mitzvah to Kula, she'll do the Bidika of Leil Shvi and go to mitzvah at night. The Mishnah says explicitly it's no good men atayr. So the Hechrech, according to the Chazanish, the Hechrech you have to say that the Halach is a mitzvah to Kula, it only applies by Yom and not by Laila. That's the source of the Machloikis, whether you say mitzvah sayyam to Kula or you mitzvah by Laila or not. At the end of Parshas Masora, you have all of the dinim of Mitzvot. You have in last week's Seder, you had a little bit. At the end of Shmini, at the end of Masora, you have more dinim of Mitzvot. You know that we got a lot of dinim. There's a din of Mitzvah and a din of Mayim, two different dinim. There's a fascinating story in the end of Seif HaYosha and Rabbein Etam. Seif HaYosha has the Biuri Rabbein Etam on the Gemara, and then he has his Tshuvit in the end. So and the second section, he has a very nasty letter that he sent to Rabbein Meshulam. Contemporary. He heard that the Rabbein Meshulam said a Shir HaChumash, and he said, and he was darshaning to Moshe Nitiagur, he was darshaning Sukkim. So Rabbein Meshulam said that it says in the Pasuk, a Shir HaLoshim, it says there are two different things. The mitzvah is a mind. Mitzvah, we discussed last week, I think, in Pashim. A mitzvah is when the rainwater comes down, when the snow melts, so that's called Notzim. The rain that comes down from heaven, a drip sign, is called Notzim. So that's only mitzvah the eshbora. That's only a good mixture. If there's a shever, if there's a crack in the ground, and the water is stationary, if the water is circling, the water is moving, so we assume that that's absorbed there, right? There's some on this red of Shuvat Maharam that it's implied that it's only the rabbanon, so the later Rachaim said they're misread it. Because they were reading it too fast. If you read it slowly, you never say. That's assumed for sure to be absorbed there, right? From circling. That's what the word mitzvah means. Mitzvah means. Cover the time. Stagnant water sitting still. The mitzvah hamayim, korayamim, mitzvah means sitting still. If it's not sitting still, it's not called a mitzvah. It's the Pirush Aminus of the word. And then there's another thing, amayon. Amayon means if the source of the water is from under the ground, from a fountain, so then it's Messiah, even there's Zechlin. There's Meitzim and there's Zechlin. It's more in the Zohar and Dachmen. It's a long run. Dachmen has a lot of dinim on his voice there. So the din usually is that anybody who's Tomei has an option, has a barrier, either to go to a mikvah or to go to a mayon. The one Tomei who requires daskir, a mayon, is the Zav. That's how it says. Yisra ha-Zav mizovo, the Sofa lo-Shiva Tiamin v'Taharos, which is in Perek says, Rav Pasek is Gimel, the Chibes v'Gogov, he has to be treasured with the Gogim, the Rokas v'Sorah, the Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim means a mayon. Bamayim, Bamayim. Why does it say so? The Racha says Bisara Bamayim. Why is it here? The Racha Bamayim. What's up with the Racha Bamayim? You should say the Racha Bimayim. Bamayim means Bihamayim. How you doing? What's Bimayim? How you doing? Why does it always say Bamayim? So the Gemara in the end of Sochem, and Avi Sochem has a drasha Bamayim, in the famous water to the exclusion of Mayim Shuvim. That's how the Rashbam learned it. The Gemara is a little unclear. The Rashbam learned that it means that Mayim Shuvim is no good. Usually we say that the din of Imam Udi Mayim Shuvim posted to some mitzvah, that we assume is only a din of Rabbam. But what's the din if it's Kula Shuvim? What if the entire mitzvah consists of Mayim Shuvim? So that's a big machlekes in Tosfos. Like a machlekes in Tosfos in the middle of Bava Basra. In Teret HaMarechei HaSabayis, the part that usually people don't learn, HaMarechei HaSabayis. So there's one doctor that's very important, one doctor. There's more talking about Mayim Shuvim, Chakotel, Chakroi, Chavosh, Chachibur. So the Teshuvah there has a big machlekes of Rishonim. What's the din of Kula Shov? What's the din of the whole mix of Mayim Shuvim? Because Selfish Shuvim is Kasha. The Mishnah says, Selfish Mayim Shuvim is Kasha, because all din of Mayim Shuvim is only the Rabbah. What if the whole mix is the Selfish on the whole mix, not just the Selfish about Dima Ruben Mayim Shuvim Tosin Chamim? What is the Selfish about the whole mix? Maybe it's Rubo Shov, maybe it's Kula Shov. But that's the machlekes Aloha Lamaisin, the Mechaber and the Ramok. The Mechaber is Mako. Machaber passes that even Kula Shov is only the Rabbanim. And the Ramah passes like these opinions that Bamayim, Bamayim means Bamayim, how you doing? That Kula Shov is a fool that writes. Give a little man Shuvim is only the Rabbanim. And there you say Selfish Shuvim is Lakula. But on a Selfish, maybe the whole list is Man Shuvim, then you wouldn't go Lakula because that's the state of the act. So under normal circumstances, a person is Tavil, he doesn't have to be Tavil in Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim doesn't mean Mitzvah. Mayim Chayim means a Mayon. The only one who needs Mayim Chayim is a Zav. The others, if they want to do Mayim Chayim, it's tough. He's going to say, hey, they need Mayim Chayim, but they don't have to. And a Zav, the Chumash requires Mayim Chayim for a Zav. So the Rabbeinu Meshulam was giving a Shia one fine day in Chumash. So he noticed that there's a Shia Loshim between the Zav and the others. By the Zav, it says, Verochat. Verochat Bamayim, it doesn't say Verochat, it says, Kol Besorah. Verochat Bamayim. And by the others who are present in the mitzvah, says Rachat is called the story. So the Gemara Darshan's on the road, Rachat is called the story. Mine is the Gemara in the last parish in Stephen, and the Gemara in Yumaj is that Rachat and Abraisa. The Rachat is called the story by mine, the mine should call Rufo El Bahem of Asachat. So when a person is stumbling, he's able to mitzvah, he can't just stick in one arm, then the other arm, then one leg, then the other leg, and stick in the bed, and stick in the middle. You have to be careful, the whole body has to be submerged under the water of Asachat. In fact, the Mishnah in Mikvah describes the problem that they used to have. The Mana Mishnah, the Mana Tanoim, the practice was that the women had two different beds. When the woman was a nigger, she slept in one bed. When she was tired, she slept in another bed. And the Mishnah describes that they used to have a Beit HaTumah, because it was a different bedroom. It was a different bedroom. Was going to have three beds in the bedroom. One she's a nigger, one when she's tired, and one for her husband. So they used to have one bedroom that they used when they were tahira. And then there was a completely different bedroom with a different bed in it when she was male. Because that bed was going to be tummy. The bed is Mikabal Tumim. If the woman can't afford it, she only has one bed, so then she has to take a bed to mikveh every month with her. So the Mishnah just, and used to have tall beds. She used to have bed posts. And the mikveh is not necessarily so deep. So the Mishnah has a whole problem. How is the lady going to be able to her bed when she comes to the mikveh with it? So they didn't have tile floors, they used to have mud floors. So the Mishnah says, no problem, just stick the piece of the bed into the mud of the floor. So the Mishnah says, no, but that's not called Gufa Vatsachas, that's like sticking in one leg, and one hand, and one hand. Because when the bottom part of the bed is in the mikveh, the top part is above the water. And then when you shove it in, into the floor, and you make a hole in the floor, it's true, the top part of the bed is submerged under the level of the water, but the bottom part of the bed is no longer in the mikveh. So the Mishnah says, no, I'm not in the cotton, that's okay. Because there was a little water when you stuck in the legs of the bed, there was water on the bottom, and then when you keep on pushing the legs of the bed further into the mud, so they have a little bit of water on the bottom, that's considered a hemshech and a mikveh. The Mishnah discusses the people who couldn't afford to have two different beds, so they had to take their bed, or the husband became tummy. The husband only had one bed. So let's say the husband became tummy, his bed was tummy. The husband is a zav. The Mishkav Azav is going to become tummy, so if he wants to be tummy on his bed, then you have a whole headache. So this is it. It's clear that you have to, whenever you have a plea, let's say you buy pots and pans, you buy quarks and knives, so you have to be careful in the mikveh, so it doesn't show up. You have to be careful to be careful the entire object, the vatahas. So Kofu Kwan Bahim Vatahas, so the Rabbi Meshulam is giving a Shira Kumish to the Tom. He didn't want to find anything. He says, But that part is only said by mitzvah. The Rafa says, Kol, the star of the mind, man should call Gufa, the end of our Sachas Kol, only said by mitzvah. By Mayan, it never uses such an expression. So it's arrived that by a mind, you can do one leg at a time. Same up with a fish. This is again a lochal amayishkut, because many people used to be tovel and a mayon in Europe. Even though they didn't need it, let's say the women went to mikveh, the half of the women in the world were tovel and a mayon. In fact, many women used to be maktid. Some of the students are now maktid. That's it, to use a mayon. We discussed the rest of it, because Rashi and a few places in Shas quotes from the Goyim that a zava also needs mindsight. Not only a zava, but zava needs mindsight. And Rashi Didan, the women of Manazir are considered to be a self-exalted zava. It's a takon, Rebbe made a takon. The money enders where Liza. For this, in Rebbe Basada, it's Rebbe made a takon at one time that all the women are treated as a tola, as if they don't remember whether they were a Liza or a zava. If you treat all the Nashim, Rashi Didan are treated as a self-exalted, and you say that if you put two and two together and a zava needs Mayim Chayim, so all the women have to go to Mitzvah in a Mayim, they need a Mayim doctor. So the Ramban on Chumash says that that's wrong. That's not correct. It's against the Tosefta. And Rashi and the Gemara, half the time when he quotes this from the Garden, he doesn't disagree. And half the time he says it's against the Tosefta. That's the Ramban. The Tosefta Megillah says, "Ein beizav lezava elo shazav tol maimchaim hazava ein matuna maimchaim." This is the Tosefta. That you don't need maimchaim. So some of the Yashid, the Garden men from the Ramban, you need maimchaim. This Tosefta. This whatever they give Tirutim already. You know they say no, it's wrong and wrong. Right? You don't give Tirutim. But there were many communities where they were machmer that the women had to go to mikveh and a mayon. That the machmer who was in a mayon, so Rabbeinu Bishulam is going to come out with a kula now. That the woman can be tevel a limited time. He made a shtickle pair based on the pasuk in Chumash. So Rabbeinu Tam got furious. So he writes him a letter that's printed in the Seif HaYosha. You have to announce publicly that you made a mistake and admit I'm going to put you in cheren. He says you machshul all the people. So he sent him back a letter and he said, I just said a shtickle pair. I said it's not halacha l'mayon. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's not enough. A rabbi who gives a shiur in the yeshiva is not allowed to say a shtickle prayer and just say it's not halacha l'mayim. You have to say exclusively that it's absolutely dead wrong. You're not even allowed to say little fool of the alma. A lot of people do that. They say little fool of the alma. So Rabbi Natan got furious. He says you're not allowed to say a shiur little fool of the alma if it's not correct halacha l'mayim. They regret him to put him in the chen unless he announces in public that it's just messed up. The Gemara in many places has drushes on the word S. The Gemara says there is a machlokes tatanan, whether the S means anything. The Gemara says that the S of Shaman, the S or S, says S. Every other pasuk in Chumash has the word S. Shemata, yeah. Ayat alukim S or Akiya. Seder says S. So it doesn't mean anything at all. So the Gemara says that Shimon Ham Sein, there was a time, Shemon Ham Sein, you're not sure who it was. Some time I would be darshan every time it says S. And then it came to the pasuk, S of Shaman, Tehatira, that he couldn't figure out what S going to be marked there. There's only one God. We believe in monotheism. So what's S? Hashem Al-Kafir. It doesn't have any partners there. There are no other members of the board. There's just the chairman of the board and that's it. There's one man show in this world. But he backed out from all the rest and said it's all wrong. There's no time and everything he says the last couple of years is all wrong. All the Shema are wrong. No more S. Don't rush. Hashabar Rabbi Akiva Galina, Rabbi Akiva came along and he explained that Hashem was Tachatira, the Rabbi Samiya Chachamim. What does that mean? So the Marami Prague has in one of his Torah in the Chachamim, he says the Chachamim have a drasha on the Pasuk, V'loya Yachal Eis Besara, it says in Pashas Mishpatim, but if you have a Shor Shahara V'Sa'odan, he gives you a Shor Yitzachel, and then it says V'loya Yachal Eis Besara. So the Gemara says, I'll show you, it's also a Gila, you don't check, it's obviously it's a Bachila, it's in a Vela. So in a Yesh in a Vela, it's a Bachila, not on the line, the Lo Yachal Eich Yisara. So it must be the Lo Yachal Eich Yisara means that it's not only also Bachila, it's even also Bano. The Yalo of the story, how do you know even the skin, how do you know even the leather, the hide is also Bano, so you said the Lo Yachal Eich Yisara, Eich HaTofel, which so the word Eich comes to be marked with something which is Tofel. So the boss is namely the yard. And similarly, the Chacham Darshan Amit Tosik. The Amit Prat was all this. The Chacham Darshan Amit Tosik. The Racha says, Kol Bistara by mind. So the Darshan S. What does it mean, S? The Racha says, Bistara. Kol Bistara is telling your mind, Shekol Dufa Al Gehenu Vatachas. Kol tells you have to be tied with the whole body of the Kli, of the person over Vatachas. So what is S? Come to teach you S. I talk of a Dufa, say yard. How do you know when a person is telling a mitzvah and the person has long hair? So how do you know that you need tefillah on your hair? Because Racha says Kisara. Kisara means the body. How do you know that the hair needs tefillah? How do you know the fingernails? Let's say a person has long fingernails. So if the person is telling a mitzvah, the fingernails are bubbling water, so maybe it's
Well, as that from the pasuk, then it's no good. It says es. The rochet es pstara es hatofel pstara. Just like the darshan es hatofel pstara by or by the shara niskan. Did you say es hatofel pstara? Rabbi say or don't say darshan es Hashem lekecha. See what the rabbi hatofel Hashem lekecha. What tofel for Hashem lekecha? A tamid chacham. That's what the Maharami talks about. It's not understood that the word es means something is tough here, it says Bereshit Rabbim, Es HaShemayim Ve'Es HaAretz. So the Tanayim Darshan there also, Es HaShemayim means all the things that are tough for the Shemayim. Es HaAretz, all the things that are tough to the earth. All the things that belong there. The word Es is not Samarbe, Marbe something else. No, it's Marbe something that's not the main thing, but it's a tough to the thing. So if you say Es HaShemayim HaTira is Marbe Es HaTopel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is next in line to the Bashlam? Who is the assistant to the Shemayim? Who is the vice president? So we can assume that are closer to God than anybody else. Why should you assume so? You saw you have to add on another assumption, maybe assume that the Hina Day Zahiris, the Hina Day Zahiris, and so on. It's right there, Rav Simcha Ben Yoyim, and Abu Lizar, and the end of the first character. And these, like my other Rabbi Gerelis, remember Rabbi used to say, we don't have, he used to have his unique way of speaking, he says, we don't have any barometer. We don't have any barometer to measure Yira Shamayim. So how do you know? It's just these guys, he was a real anti cost. He got shuttles with Angarsis with long tails and white socks. So how do you know to determine whether the guy has a lot of Yira Shamayim or very little Yira Shamayim? We have no barometer to measure. So the Chachamim told us the barometer to measure Yira Shamayim is Yira HaTayra. Sometimes the barometer doesn't work, sometimes it's broken, but under normal circumstances you assume that to the extent that the person is a Talmud Chacham, to that extent he will be a Yirei Shamayim. And the more fairly there is within him, so the more Yirei Shamayim there will be. You have sometimes exceptions to the rule, you have sometimes Yirei Shamayim who don't know how to work, and you have sometimes Talmud Chacham who are not Yirei Shamayim, but under normal circumstances you assume that that is the barometer. But at the time, what the Chachamim understood over here, Es Hashem Elokei Hatzil, the Rabbi Talmud Chachamim, it means that you assume that one who's the greatest Talmud Chacham is probably going to be a great Yirei Shamayim, and that's called Es HaTofel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es Hashem Lekech Tzil is not the Es. What's Tofel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Talmid Chacham. This pasuk Es, the Rocha says to Sarab HaMayim, Es L'Rabbi Tzatzeyor, that Tzeyor needs to be in the Mitzvah. The Rambam, interesting, the Rambam usually doesn't quote what anybody else has to say. He doesn't have to quote what Tzeyor says, what Rashi says. You think you once in a while he quotes others, but here the Rambam quotes the Ge'onim and he thinks that they're wrong regarding Seyon. The Ge'onim were of the opinion. The Gemara talks about a person going to mitzvah. The Gemara says that when a person goes to mitzvah, they have to comb their hair, so to make sure they wash their hair, comb their hair to make sure that there are no chassid. So the Ge'onim are bothered with a kasha, even if a little bit of the hair is knotted. How can that be a chatzitza? In order to constitute a chatzitza, you have to have, when I'm sorry, you have to have rubo or makfid. And the Rabbanon, and that is there, that even rubo, shein or makfid, or miyud, or makfid, is also a chatzitza. So is it possible to have, how would you calculate rubo or makfid on the hair? The whole head is not the right for the body. The Gemara talks about rubo and makfid in connection with the hair. How can you talk about rubo? But the Rambam says, no, rubo is, how do you determine what a rubo means? You have to figure out what is the surface of the body. And not only the surface of the body, the surface of the hair. So if you have long, long hair, so all of that surface area counts. It's hard to measure, but Rambam is a thin line. You have to calculate what's the total area of the surface of the body with all of the hair. And he quotes the Ge'onim and he disagrees with the Ge'onim. The Ge'onim say that we treat the hair as an independent unit and we treat the body as an independent unit. The Ge'onim are of the opinion that Es HaTofel HaPtol, the Rabbi Seyer, that you need seal on the Seyer. Effectively, you need seal on the body, you need seal on the Seyer. But it's not the same thing. It's not that you're marbe that Seyer is Tigufoi. You're not marbe. Seyer is not Tigufoi. Seyer is a different thing and Gufoi is a different thing. And the Rabbi holds not so that the Pasuk is marbe that Seyer is Tigufoi. And the calculation of the Ruba Yomakvid is based on the total picture of the entire surface of the body with the hair as well. That's the Pashup shot in the Shita Sagrada. It was in the Eri, in the beginning of Eris, and has quoted these gentlemen, he says a different understanding. He says that the Ge'onim were of the opinion that not only is this true regarding Seyer, this is true regarding every Aver in the body. And the Mishnah in the Holos, let's talk about the Ramachi Vorim, the Mishnah says this is one Eva, but it's eaten by some, this is one Eva, this is another Eva, secondly, the third, the Sinti has three Evas. And the next finger has three, and three, and three, I don't know how this has two. When you go right to so every Eva has like that. But let's say the Pinky is full of ink on the top. So we go and say, Ruba Yomaxis. How is that? Ruba? The whole body has no Chatzitzis. You judge DJ in a separate way. They hold not only Seor, not only do you treat Seor as a separate unit, and the Yuri's understanding of the Gonin was that you treat every unit of the body as a separate unit for purposes of calculating the Ruba versus the Liyutai. So the Miri writes that this explains the minig b'nai tisroya that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the medakti can remove all chatzitzes before they go to mitzvah. What's the medakti for? A tiny little chatzitzes. What's the big deal? Little chatzitzes in the middle of the body, what could be? It's a mere chain of matzis. This is not because if that chatzitzes would be on the tip of the pinky, that small little chatzitzes may turn out to be a rubai. And a rubai, even if it's chain of matzis, is a chatzitzes in the rabbana. Even if the chatzitzes is on the leg, and the leg is a big aver, it's on the leg, it's a mere chain of matzah, but since if it would have been on the tip of the pinky, or on the middle of the pinky, or on the bottom of the pinky, it would have constituted a rubai, and it would have been a chatzitzah. So the B'nai Tisra had introduced a chumrah for the medaktik to remove all chatzitzah. The minig that's based on the Shita Sagranim, I think that's what the Miri writes, the minig B'nai Tisra is based on the Shita Sagranim. Pasuk in discussing, in describing the Zinim of Zav, says that the Zav touches somebody or something before he had a chance to be present on the mikveh, but then he transmits the tumor to that other person or to that other object. Except that the Pasuk doesn't say it like that. It doesn't say, if the Zav touches something before he was present on the mikveh, but he touches something with his hands before he washes himself with Yadai. The Yadav lo shata famai. What are you talking about? A person is promised they wash himself with Yadai? And the tumor goes up in the hand. You have to have, the whole body has to be determined for him. So it's a metaphor. It doesn't mean that. The other Vashat of my mind means he has the table of his body. He touched the tumor. He was some angel God, but he touched something with his hand. And he hasn't yet been table of his hand. He has the table of the body. It doesn't mean the other Vashat of he didn't do in the Silatadan, but it really sounds like that. So the Gemara in Kulin and Parakalabas, it quotes one of the Tanaim says, Mikan Remez, the Matilus Yadayim and Ater. This passage is a remnant that there is an institutional Tzilut Yadayim. What does that mean? A remnant for Dindir Abonim. There's no such thing as a Tzilut Yadayim in Atar. There's a Dindir Kiddush Yadayim Raglan, the Kohanim, close to the Beis HaMikdash. After this Kiddush Yadayim Raglan, before the Dua Vodah. The Dua Vodah believes Kiddush Yadayim Raglan, the Vodah will be Mechulela. But if there's a Dindir in Tzilut Yadayim to remove Tzuma Saitan, the whole institution of Tzuma Saitan is only the Abonim. That the hands that come in Shriya from the rest of the body is taller. On the level of their eyes, it cannot exist. The whole institution of Tumas Sayyidah, the whole institution of Nitzilot Sayyidah, the whole thing is only with the Rabbanim. So what does that mean? The Kan Rem is the Kan Rem is lost on us, Master. So the Yitzvon, the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, quotes that he has a tradition, the Beis Midrash Shel HaRamban, that whenever the Gemara has an Asmachta, it doesn't mean Lezichon Vrami Alma, just to remember. It means that this was the author's intention. When the Rebbeinu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was an obvious meaning and there was a hidden meaning. And sometimes the hidden meaning was intended to imply a din d'oraisa, and sometimes the hidden meaning was intended to give the Chachamim a remez to institute a din d'rabbana. This sounds like such a striking remez. The Yadav Lo Shel Tefaman have a lot of times asmachta to din d'rabbana, and sometimes they're so striking that they sound just like mamash pshat in the pasuk. So that's what the report says. This was really the intention. He said these kind of asmachters were really the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that there should be in some later generation. He didn't want that it should be a din d'oraisa right away. He wanted that the Chachamim in a later generation should institute such a din d'rabbanan. The Prima Gadim in the Tzicha HaKolel of Torah Chaim wants to say that there are two categories of asmachters. The Gemara sometimes says, it's only a din d'rabbanan and the kura asmachta d'yalma. Sometimes the Gemara says it's only a din d'rabbanan and the kura is asmachta. Sometimes the Gemara calls it asmachta d'yalma and sometimes asmachta. So usually you don't notice that there's a difference between the Gemara saying that there's a difference. Asmachta d'yalma means that that was not the author's intention. Asmachta means like the report. If that was a Rebbeinu Shlomo's intention, he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated in such a way to him as to the Mahalakha he would like us to go. He would like the Chachamim and some later generation to introduce They instituted in the Rabbanim. Vajame anachimine, whether it's an asmachta, asmachta, asmachta chashuva, or an asmachta b'yalma. So the Pinigodim wants to say that whenever it's an asmachta chashuva, you should not apply the principle of sefer the Rabbanim and Tina. He thinks that that's like a halfway towards the Dindaran. Okay, Talevi also has something like this along the line. He doesn't quote the Pinigodim, but he says a little bit along the same lines. As Shuga Bat Shmita. As a few Shugas about Shmita. The one Shuga he talks about somebody had an Anfal, somebody had a brainstorm that the Chalutim who was working on the Kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, that was over 100 years ago, don't have to observe Shmita Bizmanazah at all. Why? Because the whole Shmita Bizmanazah is only the Rabbanan. Rabbi Parson holds only the Rabbanan. And we're not sure exactly which year is Shmita. We're only going to hold that this year is Shmita. There's three different opinions to say this year, next year, the year after. We hold the middle Shmita. But the next year is Shmita. It's not our Shmita. This is very Shmita. So some writer in one of the Zionist journals in Europe had such an Einfall. The Zionists were writing a lot about Shmita. Even the non-observant Zionists. They wanted to work out the problem. They wanted to get the Orthodox people also to come to Eretz Yisrael. They also wrote about Shmita. So they said, it says, Seker de Rabbanu Lekula. If you don't know which year is Shmita, it says, Seker de Rabbanu Lekula. So the Beis Halevi says that that's wrong, and he gives several reasons. He says, first of all, he can't say, Seker de Rabbanu Lekula and do away with the whole din. And he quotes the Gemara in the last paragraph himself, and the Gemara says that there's a suffix regarding his Seder. At Pesach night, the only Mitra din only requires Seder by two out of the arbitration. But because there's a question as to which two, whether the first two or the last two, so he can't resolve the issue, so they have to go to Chumra and require a seita on all four of the Abitur. So the Ran on the Rif, that's the Kasha, the whole din of a seita is only the Rabbanon. So if you're not sure which two persons need a seita, so don't do a seita at all. No, not to do a seita at all. No. Then if you're sure you're doing wrong, you can only say seita the Rabbanon Chumra and say, well, we're probably doing it right. Maybe we're doing it right. But if you know for sure you're doing it wrong, and then the Ran asks, all right, so do a seita on the first two, pick out the first two Abitur and say, that's it. I'll pick out arbitrary choices. No, whenever it's going to be an arbitrary choice, so then you can't pick out. So then you can't. When you have a case, the food is either kosher or shay, and the whole issue is only the rabbanon, that's not arbitrary. So I say, take it out of the kula, go to the kula. But what's going to be the kula? What do you mean the kula? There's no kula, there's no chumra. They're going to pick out arbitrary, not the kula. He's going to pick out two of the arbitrary choices and that choice. If you can't pick out, you have to go to chumra on both. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says. You better, he writes. You better not consider this as Sefer Adina. Which year is the Shas HaShmita? Then you're going to have to observe all 3 years. So you better not do that. We better name on. We better assume that next year is the Shas HaShmita. So it's a Vadai. So we're going to play games with it and consider the possibility of labeling it as a Sefer. Which year is Shmita? You're going to have to observe all 3 years. That's one point that he has. Then he has another point. He says he's not so convinced that Sefer the Rabbanon Lekula applies to every single Din of Rabbanon. At the Pinigodim, but he has a different place. He says the fact that Shmita is not Nagimanazah, that's a hitch. That's a hitch. He says, if there wouldn't have been any Kedusha Sa'aris at all, what's the law? There's no Kedusha Sa'aris at all. But Manazah, no. In fact, there's Kedusha Shmita, Kitcha Vashati, Kitcha Lot, and Lovai. There is Kedusha Sa'aris with Manazah. So why is there no Shmita? No, there's a hitch. The dinim of Shmita only apply every 7th year. You'll have Shmita if on the 50th year you'll have Yoga. If you can't read up to Yoga, then you don't have to observe the laws of Shmita. The laws of Shmita should apply. But the Allah is that you don't have to observe the laws of Shmita because you can't read up to Yoga. Why can't it read up to Yoga? Because you have to have Kol Yashveh Olam. The Pasuk says it's cross and draw bar as Mechol Yashveh on Parshi Fahar. That's the Pasuk and the Libby though. You should proclaim Libby throughout their land and to all its inhabitants. Because it's more regarded on the word for all its inhabitants, that you have to have all of Kol Yisrael belong in Eretz Yisrael. We are all considered Yashveh. We want all folks to be living in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, when the majority, soon, we don't have it yet. Another year or two, it's going to be the majority of Jews going to be living in Eretz Yisrael. So then the laws of Shmita is going to be deraisik, then no more Hetem Mechira. The whole Hetem Mechira only works when Shmita is deraisik, if it works. If it's not that it works, it only works if you assume that the Shmita is only deraisik, the whole reason why Shmita is only deraisik, because you can only have Shmita deraisik, you only have to observe Shmita deraisik, so it's going to lead up to Yoga. Yoga depends on Kol Yashvei Olah. You have to have raised clones or living in Eretz Yisrael. But the Beis HaLevi says like this, he says, if the din would have been that there's no Kedusha Sa'aris Bizmanazah, so the whole din of Shmita is mamash an invention of the Rabbanon. So then I can, the hair that you say, Sefer the Rabbanon Lekula. But he says there is Kedusha Ta'aret. The only thing is that there's a hitch over here, there's a condition. You don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah because you can't lead up to Yoyol anyway. But he says if you will observe the laws of Shemitah, in the summer it will be a Kiyam HaMitzim and HaTa'ira. Be a Kiyam Deraita. That's Kedusha Ta'aret. So it will be a Kiyam HaMitzim and HaTa'ira. So he says a din, which you're obligated to observe in the Rabbanan. But if you'll observe it even without that Kiyam in the Rabbanan, there will be a Kiyam and HaTa'ira. He's not so convinced that you should say Sefer Rabbanu, because he thinks that such a din the Rabbanu should be Sefer the Rabbanu the Chumer. It's the Rabbanu, the Chavis Agav is the Rabbanu, but the Kima Mitzvah is the Raisa. Rabbi Yosef Engel would not accept that, because Rabbi Yosef Engel was a whole lesson, one of the Svarim, they kind of chewed it, they said, Ryan, that all Mitzvah is the Rabbanu. All Mitzvah is the Rabbanu, even though the Chavis Agav is only the Rabbanu, but once you do the Mitzvah, there's the Kima Mitzvah the Raisa. There's a Havlok of Neres Chanukah. They said, Brian, as a children have lots of parents, Chanukah, that although the obligation to light their time is only the Rabbanon, once you light, that constitutes the Kima Mitzvah Deraita, and the Shaman is hooked to the Mitzvah and Atayr. Just like an Esther, he's hooked to the Mitzvah and Atayr, and the Sukkah is Chashem Shemaim Ha'a Sukkah, so the Shaman of the Ner Chanukah is hooked to the Mitzvah and Atayr. So Yosef Engel is not going to go to this, they tell Lady, but it's a lady thought perhaps like that. And then he quotes that Rav Chaim, his son, Rav Chaim Yivalozhin, disagrees with him, and the children based on he said that he said that he's wrong on his assumption that his man hazeh, the kedusha ta'aret is the right is just that if you don't want it, you don't have to observe shemitah. No, Rav Chaim explained that there's no kedusha in a gear to shemitah his man hazeh. He quotes the Hoshi Gutar from the son of Rav Chaim Yivalozhi. Anyway, this is the shaila with this pasuk, the yadav lo shata b'amayim. So the Gemara says in Chulam, Perkel Abasa, that this is the remnant. The town rebels in the Tilos Yadayim in Atayim. And it's a very striking remnant. In fact, at least one to believe, like the Ritva. The Ritva says that all us, he quotes the tradition from the days of Midrash Shalom Ramban, that all us masters, it's an Asmata Hashuva, not an Asmata Bialma, as the Prima Gordon calls it, all Asmata Hashuva, that it really sounds like that's what he says in the passage, were really intended by the author, Ba'akodesh Baruch Hu, Mechor Yassi, that's what he meant. He meant that the Chachamim and a later generation should come up with this idea. Yeah, but what does the Taka mean, the other Lo Shata B'Amayim? That's the remnant. But what does the Baruch Hu mean in a more obvious way? The Gemara says, the more obvious meaning is, my Yodav Mi Baroi, Afkol Mi Baroi. The Gemara says again that when a person goes to mikveh, they don't have to open up their mouth to have the water go in. They don't have to open up their eyes that the water should touch the eyes. Why? Because the inside part of the mouth and the inside of the eyes is called Beis HaSorim. And the Beis HaSorim doesn't require tefillah of the mikveh. How do you know that? Because it says in this pasuk, the Gemara Mikveh learned that in this pasuk. The Rocha, the Yadav Lo Shatav B'Mayim, it doesn't mean he didn't wash himself with that. It means he wasn't able to his hands in the water, ba'moyim, deha mayim ha'idrim, in the mayim of the mikveh, means he wasn't able to his body. So why does it say hands? My yadav mi baroi, the hands are exposed, afkol mi baroi, to the exclusion of Beis HaSorim. The Beis HaSorim do not require the atman. You don't need that water should come in. And nonetheless, the Gemara has in Kiddushin, the first parish in Kiddushin, the Gemara has in the end of Nidah, that even though you don't need the atman, but still a person has to brush their teeth before they go to mikveh, because even though you don't need the atman, but chatzitz is possible. But saying this, that there's a chatzitz and the Beis HaSorim, it'll possible this tefillah. What kind of a din is that? A din the right, a din the rabbanan, big machlokes. The Ritva writes, the Ritva and some others, and many achareim like that Ritva. They say that the whole din can only be in the rabbanan. There's no way to understand this on a level of the right. Chatzitz is possible and the Beis HaSorim, even though you don't have to. Chatzitz means that there's no Beis HaSorim, that if you don't eat Beis HaSorim inside the mouth, inside the eye. What about you if you have a little mucus here, if you have a little bone stuck in the teeth? Then Ashunayim, what should it bother me? And Tosis on the top, does not? But Tosis says, no, it's based on Rosh Hashanah, that Chatzitz is possible from the Beis HaSorim and Atayr. Chatzitz is possible from Atayr. Mechaba writes in Yeridaya, this is a big shaila, that a chatzitz inside the mouth is the right rabban. Afkamina is a temporary, silver, stitches, all kinds of things. Moshe has chuvas that are hard to understand. So, you have to put all the chuvas again and figure out what it is saying. So a lot of the conventional pasim always mitzaris, when they have chuvas about these things, they say, the frat, the ritvo, and many pasim say that all the chatzitz and based hashlam is only the rabban. The question is, what is it saying in Shulchan Aruch? So Mechaba writes it in, if a person is tevil in the mikveh, And after they come out from the mikveh, they're trying to have a chatzitza on their body, and they cannot ascertain whether that chatzitza was there before they were tayvah, or the chatzitza developed after they were tayvah. So that's it, so it's not a chumrah, you have to be tayvah again. But what if there's a chatzitza in the mouth, in the beis haftorah? And they have no way of ascertaining whether the chatzitza was there before or after. If they come to the realization that chatzitza was there before they were tayvah, but the Gemara says they have to be tayvah the second time. The Gemara says, I'm for the Bei Rebbe. Rebbe Shivko is tayvah in the mikveh, and then she found a bone in her in between her teeth, stuck in between her teeth. The Rebbe told her she has to be tayvah again. That's the Gemara Kiddushin in the first time. But if the person was mistaken, whether the chatzitza was there in the Beis Haftorah before or after, the Mechaber writes the Seri, she go the Kula. But it says he go the Kula, isn't that a dead giveaway that the whole din is only in the Rabbanah? How can anybody think that the Shulchan Aruch is passing that it's a din deraisa? So Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his children, the whole Shtigl says he doesn't think that that necessarily implies that it's a din deraisa. Because even if one should assume that it's a din deraisa, you also would go the Kula here. The other Hadith is with your heart. He says, if you have a chatzitza on the outside of the body, the pshat is there was no bias mayim. There was no tula. Let's say a person just didn't go to mitzvah. Even if the person went to mitzvah, there was a chatzitza on the outside. So there was no tula. So the person has a stoppage, whether the chatzitza was there before, his tula has developed after. But not only is the stoppage, whether the person is at the table. So the person is the chatzitza tomei. So of course, they have to be table again. But if the chatzitza is inside the mouth, where there's no requirement to bias mayim. So if the person was chosen and the mix with the tefillah was perfect, there was a bias mayim. The only thing is that there's a chatzitza in the Beis Haftorah, and the chatzitza is a postal for the tefillah. Chatzitza is postal. Not the chatzitza means by definition you will never table. No. Chatzitza in the Beis Haftorah will serve as a postal to be mevatel the tefillah. So that since the person, the woman knows that she was chosen in the mix, so she's the chesed of Sahara. So she has a chesed of Sahara with herself, whether there was a postal on the chesed of Sahara. But then he says, you go to Kula, even if the issue you're discussing is a deraisa, it's full deraisa, because it's not that it will come out that she was never tayvah, it will come out she was tayvah, but there was a paisa. So that's considered the cheska sahara, the cheska petra. Harif is bigger verse. There are a lot of gemaras like that. You have to... Victor Lefanovich has a Gemara like that, and other times, Chalitza gives cases like that, where you say that since this is a place to that, that's called the first step, the other thing. There's a whole interesting to have. Then it's Shulchan Aruch that when you have two sedrus mechubar, you have to even out the aliyah. In order that the sedrus shouldn't be jealous. We didn't do anything in Tazir. Let me just do a little bit. The Pasuk says, the Yom Heira Osa Lala Koin. It says you have to come to a Koin to show the negative. The Koin has to pass. So it says, B'yom Heira Osa. What do you mean, B'yom Heira Osa? So Rashi quotes from the Mishnah that Yesh Yom Nishata Roryatana Goyim, Yesh Yom Shenata Roryatana Goyim. That some days the Koin is not supposed to look at them. Look at the negative, he's going to pass from the guy's Tameh, he's going to put him in a state of misery. So the Mishnah says, this is Sanyantiv, and he's in the midst of Simchas Yantiv, or the guy just got married, he's a Chosin, she was Mea Mishnah. So the Koin should not talk, the Koin shouldn't look at the negative. Because to look and to hold back if it's Tomei, to hold back if it starts to say Tomei, that's not right. Once you see if it's Tomei, so you should pass from Tomei right away. So the best thing is don't look. And Yom Tov, I'm doing Shiris Mea Mishta, don't look. So the Chazon Ish, Nigoyim, Amishnai is Nigoyim, has an important essay concerning that Mishnah. That it would appear that there's going to see it in that mission that under normal circumstances when a person is obligated to do a mitzvah, we have to go into the mitzvah. So the simple mashmois here is that it's not for this purpose, you would have said, even on Yom Tov, even if she is now mishter, you must go immediately to the time to do the mitzvah. Whenever you have an obligation to do a mitzvah, you have to do it right away. You're not allowed to postpone. So the pasuk says that yesh yom shiyat erayat anagoyim. So tell you give you a break over here, that if it's going to stay, the simchas yom, it's going to ruin the simchas kos and the kalos. So you should have not mishnah, so they have a right to postpone. But under normal circumstances, you have no right to postpone. So this is a big, this is a big topic, let's say, a guy's going with a girl, and he decided, this is the girl, he's going to marry this girl.